Good morning, and God bless each one. It's a privilege to be here with you, and we are happy that we could make this work. And you all are invited to come to Dublin and visit with us, too, whenever it suits. We'd be glad to have you over our way. Yeah, I've enjoyed the service this morning, and enjoyed the singing. I wonder what this would sound like if we filled this auditorium up. You're doing really good. I like that, just to, you know, sing with gusto in your heart. So keep it up. Well, I think you already know that I want to talk about the promises of God. And I would like to open it up to for you to share what promise means a lot to you that God has made to us. And Brother Gerald messaged me this morning, and his promise that he would have shared if he was here, so I'm going to share it for him, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So that was from Brother Gerald. I think we all like that promise. We're thankful for it. Who'll be next?
2 Corinthians 7:6-18, "Wherefore coming from among them to be separate, said the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty."
Amen. Amen. And you know, some of these that you taught, that you bring up, we may mention them again, but they're worth mentioning twice. I love that one. Thank you. Who's next? Anthony.
Matthew 11:28-29. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls."
Wow. Yes. Thank the Lord. That's a big word, isn't it? All. Amen.
Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
Amen. Amen. I just love these promises. John. No, go ahead.
1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Amen. Promised.
Romans 8:28,
right. Amen. Any others?
2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, with the power of Christ rest upon me."
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yes. Anymore? Yes, amen. Anyone else yet? I'd just love to hear it from y'all. Is anybody worried about global warming and climate change and all of these things that we keep being bombarded with, you know, the records being broken? Isn't there a promise somewhere that God gave us? What was that reference?
Genesis 8:22.
Thank you. I kind of relaxed. day before yesterday was the spring equinox, and you know, when the sun was just right over the equator. I mean, it was just as much sun. And God told us that's the way it's going to be. And this fall, it's going to be the fall equinox, and it's going to get cold again. And we, you know, hope to harvest our crops. And it's, why worry about it? Yeah, I know we're stewards, and we need to take care of the earth, and we can. But anyway, okay, that's maybe kind of all an earthly thing, but we get bombarded with that one. And it, I think we need to just go back and remember God's going to take care of us in the world that he created. And thank you so much for all those. Any others yet? Somebody have another one on your tip of your tongue? Okay, well, thank you very much. I looked in our book, but it doesn't have the song, Go to the Deeps of God's Promise. I don't know if you know that song or not. I don't think it's just a real, real familiar one. Go to the deeps of God's promise, ask freely of him and receive. All good may be had for the asking. If seeking, you truly believe. Then the refrain goes, go to the deeps of God's promise. There's wideness of meaning untold in the promises given his people and the treasures they ever enfold. I just really like that song. Go to the deeps of his promise and know of his wonderful might, whatever would be a true blessing for Jesus' sake comes. Go to the deeps of God's promise. The blessing is never denied. He loves and remembers his children, and every good thing is supplied. I think we do need to remember that God has never promised us, and we'll get into this more later, but he hasn't promised us an easy path. So when I read this song, it sounds like maybe we could almost think, well, you know, if we just trust him, the road's going to be smooth from here away and everything, and health, wealth, and prosperity. And I'm not preaching that doctrine at all. A promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something. And I was blessed with, as you were sharing these promises, and I have a number of them listed here, I may even just read over them again. But, and I sometimes I read them too fast, and I think of Anthony's here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus said, I will. It's not, I'm going to try, maybe I can. It's, I will. And I hope that we can be impressed with it this morning, all these promises that were read. When God says, I will, I mean, it's done. It's over. You can go to the bank with it. You can believe it. Because when he says, I will, I shall, it's going to happen. It's the way it is. Well, and the goal of the message is to help us get a fresh look at God. And then we will be able to rest in his promises. When we get a fresh look at who God is, that's when we're so humbled and realize our unworthiness. And that's why that one question this morning, I don't remember exactly how, it almost seemed like recognizing our unworthiness was kind of an option, or I don't believe we're even servants until we realize, I don't deserve it, not a bit of it. We want to go to the deeps of God's promises. Some promises are not to be trusted, right? You ever had somebody promise you something in life and you knew good and well they'd never give it? And I always think of one little illustration that happened to me about a number of years ago, and Sarah and I were driving, and I know about right where we were, way up north, and I think I was just wanting some diversion, you know, we're just driving, the phone rang, and I knew it was not a call that probably up to anything real good, but I answered it anyway, and this man told me that this afternoon, I'm going to bring you $1 million to your house and a brand new car. And so I was just feeling kind of in one of those moods. I'm like, really? Yes, to your house. And so I fed him along for a while, and he just promised for sure. I was like, well, you probably need my bank account number to put the money in, right? Oh, no. All I need, and he needed about $700 for taxes and so on. And I fed him along a little while, and finally I said, well, you know, we've never met, but I don't look as stupid as you think I do. And he got really angry and hung up the phone. But I knew that promise that he was making had no backing to it at all. Now, when God speaks, we know it. There's backing there. So we're going to look again at some promises. So God, a couple of people in the Bible that God promised. He came to Noah. Remember what he told Noah was going to happen? He said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. The people had turned so far from God. I wonder if the spiritual climate of his day was a lot like the world today. I'm not going to just say our country, but the spiritual climate of the world is horrible today. But God came to Noah and said, there's going to be a flood. It's going to be about 100 years yet. And I want you to build a boat. And Noah believed God. He started getting the wood together and getting his boys together. And, you know, thankfully, he still had his father and he had his grandfather. Methuselah didn't die until the year of the flood, and his father died just a few years before the flood. I used to think of Noah about all by himself, but he had a little bit of help. And we know what it's like, don't we, to have a boy or two with us, or maybe, and even when we were young, we remember how great it was to have our dads with us and maybe a grandpa. But the point being here is the promise that God said it was going to happen. And Noah went to work. He believed, and so he obeyed. Turn with me to Genesis 12. Moving on to Abraham. God came to Abraham. Abram, as it was in Genesis 12. The Lord had said, this is verse 1, Genesis 12, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will. There we go again. Was any question in that? I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So here he promised Abram that he was going to make a great nation out of him. Abram was older than me. I'm only going to be 71 this week. He was 75. No children. And God said, Abram, I'll make a great nation of you. I don't know. How would it take it if I didn't, you know, if we didn't have any children? We've been blessed with a large family and a lot of grandchildren and some great grandchildren. So, okay, God, if you tell me that, so, well, you got something to work with. But Abram didn't. Go over into chapter 15. And this was 10 years later. Abram, 85. Still no children. This is when he had gone to battle and he got Lot back and from the king of Sodom, and I think it was another king. And they wanted to give him a reward. And Abram said, I don't even want your shoestring. And then when God came to him in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. See, those kings wanted to reward him. That always impresses me here. And he said, I don't even want a shoestring that you have. And God came along and said, I'm going to reward you. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? You promised me 10 years ago, and I still don't have any children. And only the heir in my house is my servant. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And that's when God took him outside. And I get a good glimpse of this when we go to New Mexico and we get way away from town and a lot of the light pollution, and it's a high elevation. And you go out at night on the dark side of the moon particularly, and the stars are just so vivid. And I get a glimpse. I think this is kind of the situation here. I know they didn't have the light pollution that we do wherever they were. And they went out on one of those nights. It's Abram, you see all these stars? Can you count them? I said, Lord, you know I can't count them. He said, well, look to tell me, if you can be able to count them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Abram believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And we find that over in the New Testament. Again, it's still an outstanding thing there in the book of Romans to the Apostle Paul. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And this is where this is where God cut a covenant with Abram, changed his name to Abraham. And Abram went to sleep. Usually when two men cut a covenant, this covenant was between two men, and they would divide the animals and walk down the middle when they were offering these animals. And but Abram went to sleep, and God made the covenant. This was an unconditional covenant to Abram that I'm going to give you the land. Unto thy seed, verse 18, have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, chapter 16 was the carnal plan for offspring. I guess it seemed like Abram and Sarah were getting a little bit weary of waiting on God. And Sarah came up with this plan of taking her maid and... of course, you know the story of Hagar and all of that and how it did not work out. We go over to chapter 17. And now Abram was, how old was he there? Do you see it in your Bible? Chapter 17, verse 1, Abram was 99 years old. 99 years old. And God promised him this seed at 75. So that's 24 years later. It came again, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 4, my covenant is with thee and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Oh, this is where he changed his name to Abraham instead of the other, chapter 15. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will I will be their God. And so forth and so on. You know what's interesting? Now that we just read about that and how God promised him his seed and these his age, and you get a picture of all that 99-year-old man with no children that God had promised a seed. One, the seed of the Messiah. He promised it through Abraham and through this son that had not been born and through his son. And it would be of the tribe of Judah through the lineage of David. He promised all that. I have to tell you something else, and I don't know what it means, and maybe it doesn't mean much at all. Oh, well, no mark. I don't see a mark. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Somebody just shared this with me recently, that when Adam was created, this was year zero, and then Adam lived, I think it was 130 years, but in between there's some... No, 930, I'm sorry. And somewhere in about 100 and some, he had another son of, was it Cain, Abel? And the genealogy goes, and this one begat this one, and you keep up, it has all the years in there. You remember reading that? You're reading through the Bible and you get all this genealogy. Well, do you know where... If we just keep going all the way up through, and I told you Methuselah died at the flood, and you keep going all the way up. I don't know why I'm going so high either, but let's just abbreviate it here a little bit. And you get all the way up to Abram, when Abram was born. And you know how many years it is from here to Abram? If you don't feel bad. I didn't either until a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine has it all on a chart laid out. It was 1948 years. Now, is there anything significant about that? Well, from the time of Christ, okay, we know the story. Abram had a seed. He has descendants, the seed of Abraham, and they are still, and we read about how that it would be everlasting. And there still are descendants of Abraham. And they're called a Jewish people. They have kept their lineage and a definable people, recognizable people. And he promised them that land that we read about. And I'm just bringing this to show you about God's promises. And I'm not going to get hung up on it long. But you know the story, back in, okay, well, let's say here's the time of Christ. Well, about 500 years before that, they were taken into Babylon captive. They lost the ruling of their own country, the government, being the governing body of this land that they were promised. They came back to their homeland, but even in the time that they were under Babylonian rule, they were under different ones. In the time of Jesus, they were under Roman rule. And then you know what happened about AD 70 when they were scattered. And then again about 130, there was another uprising. And that's when this seed of Abraham was dispersed. There was a period of time it was even against the law for Jewish people to be in Jerusalem. It's about 110, I believe it was. And they were dispersed over all the world. Okay, history lesson. What year did Israel become a nation? This seed of Abraham came back to their homeland and were established as a nation. Anybody remember? 1948. Yeah, it was the year 1948. Never since 500 BC had this people, the seed of Abraham, been ruling in their homeland. But in 1948, let me look quick. There's nobody here that was living then. It was 7 years before I was born. I get sometimes give that as a quiz to children. We go away for revivals and nobody knows me. And I said, they want to know how old I am. I said, well, I was born 7 years after Israel became a nation, 8 years before President Kennedy was assassinated. And his little duffers don't have a clue when that was, but they go home and figure it out. So just before I was born, these people, the seed of Abraham, who hadn't ruled their country since 500 BC, came back to their homeland in 1948. I don't know why that's like that. Except I think God maybe has a little sense of humor. And he just wants us to realize, I got it under control. I don't know. I just marvel at God, the way he works at things and can do little things like that. That, you know, that we're not building any doctrine on it. And I like to tell people, because when I go away, it's... you never know what all views of prophecy people have. And I said, what I'm telling you isn't prophecy. What I'm telling you is history. I mean, it's there. It happened already. We read the story. We read when God said, I will. And then we look and say, it did. So anyway, don't knock me off and say that I have a wrong view of prophecy. I'm just telling you a little history. You can go from there wherever you want to. But I'm going to tell you, when God says, I shall, it's going to happen. And that's what I wanted to impress you with before we get going too far into this message. Okay, I have a lot of scriptures, a number of them you have given already. I love that. Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians 1. There's a number of verses in Ephesians, the first chapter. I just love Ephesians 1. This is the chapter where he talks about the provision. There in verse 3 of chapter 1, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And then he talks about the purpose for blessing us, the provisions that we have, the purpose for it is in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then he talks about the promise in verse 9, 10, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. And then he gave us a down payment there in verse 13 and 14, the earnest of our inheritance. He gave us an inheritance, in verse 10 that I was reading. And then we get we've received the down payment for it, the Holy Spirit, the earnest, the down payment money of our inheritance until the redemption. But I was wondering on over in verse 19 in particular. being lightened, and you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. And this is what I want us to understand, that when God makes a promise, he is able to perform it according, what does he say there? Exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And I have to think in pictures sometimes, and I think about when I think about power and the need for power and where we get our strength, and it has to be according, you know, like when we're using electricity, we have to have a power source that's bigger than what we need. So what our need is, we get it according to the supply. Are you with me? We get stuck in the field. I remember one time we got bogged down so terribly bad with a big tractor. It had duals all the way around it. And we get one tractor out, and it wasn't enough according to the power to bring this one out. And we got another tractor, and it was a mess. And finally, we were able to get something that was enough over here that was according to what this needed to get it moved out. And here we are, We're supposed to grasp what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So here I get a picture of God. And in his mighty power, he raised Jesus from the dead. And we can find strength because of this. And we get it from here. Think you ever pop a chain? That's what happened to us. Get a cable, get a big cable, and then you tear the cable. And you think you're ever going to, when you're looking to God for your source, think you ever tear the chain? The wires are ever going to break or whatever? Mighty power. The greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, he raised Jesus from the dead. All right, Ephesians 3:20. You can follow along these. I'm going to move. Now to him who is able to do, anybody remember what that word is? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And there we have it again, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according again as his divine power. Here we go. I just want this picture of God over here, and here's needy me and you. And he has, according to his power, he can get it over here to help us. If we call out to him according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And I just want to cry out, why do we stumble? Why do we fall? Why do we get offended? Why can't we take the hard things in life? If he's given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and, what kind of promises? Precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Galatians 3 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ, we've been over Abraham already, promise was made. Acts 13, this was just promising through David, the lineage of David, and we studied that in a Sunday school lesson and see already, we know the end there in the book of Ruth and how that Jesus came through the line of David. Well, I want to ask you, can we trust God? Can you trust God? Can you really believe that he's going to do what he said he will do? And I want to say yes with all the emphasis that I can. You can trust him. He is all powerful. He's eternal. There is none like him. He is everywhere present. He is all knowing. He knows everything in the recess of your heart and all your circumstances in mind that are just make the story so different than maybe perceived by everybody else. But he knows that. He's the creator. He's the giver of life. He sent the Redeemer. He's the Father of mercies. He loves righteousness and he hates iniquities. And he has never failed his word. Never. Romans 4:21 goes back to Abraham again. And I think the key for us is to be like Abraham, because it says Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because Abraham was fully persuaded, it was counted, it was put onto his account as righteousness. And I think that's where we come in. Are we fully persuaded that God is able? Can he take this situation that looks so horrible, that looks so devastating, that looks like my future is just all messed up, and you fill in the blank? Do you really believe that God can take that and somehow bring glory to his name? And I was challenged recently about praying for things, that there was something that I was praying for and asking God how to do it, telling him how I thought it should be done. And I still don't think, I was praying that the wars would stop, and I still don't think it's wrong to do that. But I was challenged that maybe we should be praying that God would bring glory to his name. And I think that's good as well. But God, I still want the wars to stop. And I think that's right. There's a verse that talks about he maketh the wars to cease. So I talked to him about that. But the key is for us to be like Abraham and be fully persuaded that he's able to do what he said he can do. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that, what? God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. He's promised us eternal life. What more could we want? Why would we fear? Why are we troubled if we really believe his promises? Why are we troubled when the waves of life crash over us? I want to look at a few things that God has promised. And the first one, I probably should not have put them in this order, and I don't say that this is the order that they should have been, because the first one probably will surprise you. Lamar, would you go get me a paper towel, please? The first one I have here, what have we been promised? And the first one is hard times. And that doesn't sound, I wouldn't make it very high in a health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine this morning. I wouldn't get up to the pulpit. They wouldn't let me there. Because it's the first thing I want to remind you of, that we have been promised. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. That's exactly right. But be of good cheer. The Holy One, the Just One, the One that knows everything, the Creator of life, I'm with you. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I can't overcame the world. Thank you. There will be hard times. And parents, I remind you that you won't make an interstate highway for your children that has all fun and pleasures along the way. And the sooner we can help our children to see the realities of life, and what is the reality of life? Is there anybody that's going to grow up to get up to where basically most of us are today and just have all good things? But we all still get sick, don't we? We'll have relational issues to work through that are hard. There's people that fall away from the faith. There are people that we still get cancer. We still get disappointments. There's sickness, illness. And this is life. But be of good cheer, he says. And the sooner that we can help our children to understand. And I think it goes all the way back, and it's not the subject for this morning, but your job for your children isn't just to give them everything they want, to try to make life so smooth for them that they don't fuss and complain. So you want to try to give them everything they want. That's not even beginning to develop a realistic picture of life. Okay, move on. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a promise. Deceptive times, perilous, perils, dangerous times. And I think we're in those days like probably never before. How do we know what's right and what's wrong? Why? Because you Google it? Does that mean it's right or does that mean it's wrong? No. You can find what you want. You keep looking and you can get. And how do you know it's the truth then, what you find with what you were looking for? I'll throw this one out right here. Don't spend a lot of time doing that. Get the Bible, this truth. You can know what the Bible says. You can take it home with you. You can believe it and live your life by it. You know the Bible is truth. And I will say, too, that if we spend too much time on the news and the current events in the world, I don't think that we were made to take all of the bad things around the world and receive it from people who are trying to shape the way we feel about those things. And that's what happens, isn't it? Depending who you listen to, You want one side, go to CNN. If you want the other side, go to Fox. And if you let them go all around the world to gather the bad things, to put it to you from their perspective, you're going to have a hard time keeping things straight up here with your priorities, living in the kingdom and keeping Christ first in your life. You have to forgive me for little rabbit trails, but it just came. Okay, we're back on, number two, he promised that there would be peace and our needs supplied. John 1:79, when it's the talk of the coming Messiah, promises that he will guide our feet in the way of peace. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken, that in me ye might have peace." And I want to just assure you that in Christ is the only path to peace, because he is the source of peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, as we had read earlier. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply," there we go, we had this verse already, but I emphasize it again, that big word, all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According, here's the source, and he, whatever we need, and his peace is available, even when we don't know how we will make it. His peace is available. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," what?
Shall.
Not maybe, there's a good chance of it, 60%, no, shall be added unto you, promised. Number three, he promised his presence. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Let your conversation," Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." And then we can go into Romans 8:31. If God is for us, which means literally, if God is with us, who can be against us? Number four, what we've been promised is acceptance. John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Our acceptance into the bosom of the Father, into Jesus, is not based on our race or nationality or our lineage or our class in life or our wealth or our intelligence or our upbringing, by our last name, or even by our feelings about ourselves. Sometimes we get these feelings about, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm doing good enough. What if he hasn't forgiven me? I want to just tell you, it's the heart of Christ to reach out and accept you. And he says that he that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Can you imagine having a gift, a wonderful gift for one of your children, and holding it out, wanting to give it, and they say, well, I don't know if you really want me to have it. I don't know. I'm not sure. And you're like, no, I want you to have it. And that's salvation. Jesus left heaven. John 3:16 was quoted, "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish." God gave his son. Why would he go through all that? And then we're not sure if he really wants to forgive us. That's his heart. Learn to know the heart of God. He wants to forgive you, and in no wise he'll cast you out. Number five is forgiveness, and this one's been mentioned already too. If we confess our sins, he is, and is a state of being. It is. Kind of like not long ago, well, just a couple of weeks ago, Sarah and I were in the mountains in Virginia having revivals. And the church was right by the most beautiful mountain stream. And we'd go on a long walk beside it. And at certain places, you would hear the water just really going over the rocks. And so we'd stop and just look at it a little bit. And just that water going. And you know what? That water right now is still doing that same thing. It's a state of being. It is. It is. And that staggers my mind. But it is. And this is the way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. faithful. It's a state of being. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, taking our sins away. Matthew 6:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not, neither will your Father forgive their trespasses, your trespasses. Number six. What does he promise us? He promises strength. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Again, there's that according. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Oh, he wants to strengthen us. He wants to take our sins away. He's promised it. To cleanse us, strengthen us, and give us joyfulness. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Number seven, he promised to come and take us to eternal life. And again, this one has been mentioned. Worth mentioning again. He says, and if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. No doubt about it, Anthony. I will come, he said, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 John 2:25. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father. And what a promise. What a promise. Let me tell you, remind you again that anything you're going through today is only temporary. This isn't the end. This isn't your home. He promised that he will be with us. He'll give us strength. He'll come and take us to eternal life where he can lay all these cares. I just cannot fathom what heaven's going to be like. Where there's no sickness, where there's no funerals, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no disappointment in relationships, there's no evil at all, not even the presence of sin, not even the thought of sin. And then we'd be there with all those who've gone before and with our Lord. That's just hard to imagine. But I ask you again, are the toils of life worth it? So brothers and sisters, keep faithful. Whatever you're facing today, keep moving forward, keeping your eyes on God, claiming the promises of God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he what? No, he will draw near to you. So when you're feeling down, when you're discouraged, when you're maybe a little blue, when it looks like the whole world is on your shoulders and you've lost your last friend, go back to God. He's still there. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then we go back to the 2 Corinthians 7:1. It was mentioned as well. And I thank you all again for your good response and the promises. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So dear little flock, remember that God's goodwill is extended towards us. He does want our response of faith and trust and obedience and love. His arms are open. His ear is listening. And those that come to him, he says, I will in no wise cast out. What a great God. So trust him in whatever struggle you're having and go to the deeps of God's promise. May God add his blessing. Oh. Want to have a prayer? Okay, let's kneel together for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for this privilege to be together here with the saints at Smithdale. And Lord, we thank you for being with us in the service this morning. Encouraging time together, and would you bless each one? Draw our hearts to you, Lord, and lift us up. You know the struggles. We're in this battle called life. And there are dangers around us. We are in perilous times. There are tribulations and disappointments. And so, Lord, whatever each one is facing or anyone is facing, Lord, would you be there and speak words of comfort and draw each one to you. Lord, would you please make us a blessing as we go, our separate ways, and bless those in a special way who are traveling and getting ready for a funeral. Lord, we're reminded again of the cycle of life, how babies are born and old people die. And God, help us that we would be ready for that wonderful time that you call us home to be with you in glory. And we do look forward with great anticipation that you will come again, that one day the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive will rise up to forever be with the Lord. God, keep us until then. So bless us all as we leave this place. Keep us for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.